Welcome to Dial a Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz. I am live in my basement with my good friend, Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan. Drew, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
It's just going to be you and me, my friend.
That's cool.
All right, good.
We've done the show with less than just you and me.
I've done the show by myself. Just going to be you and me, big boy, unless somehow James shows up. Dr. J, that is. Anyway, I'm looking at the big board over here, and I see that we have one listener, and that's very good because I'd like to know if the streaming quality is any good. So if you would please email me at dorks@dial-a-dork.com, and let us know how the streaming quality is. We would appreciate it. The reason we ask is because the computer is getting eaten up by the Windows Update process, which I stupidly started 5 minutes before the show.
So what is the deal with Windows Updates? Could somebody please tell me? Because I'd really like to know.
Okay. The deal with Windows Updates is that every now and then your computer tells you... hold on. Before I even go any further, Dan Overton has just messaged me and says he wants to listen in. So I got to tell him... I got to tell him where to go.
Is it like the first Tuesday of every month or something like that they come out with an update? Or am I hallucinating?
I heard about that, like Patch Tuesday or something like that.
But it's only a rumor? It's like the North Pole or the Santa Claus?
Like the North Pole isn't really a... There's no land there.
There's no pole there.
Well, I mean, there's a spot, a theoretical spot.
Right. But there's no Santa Claus there is my point.
Okay, well, so Dan's going to be tuning in. Anyway, every so often, Windows releases patches, and if you have the Windows Update service running on your Windows computer, you'll get a little notifier in your system tray that there are updates available, and some, depending on what your settings are, either it'll just tell you there are updates available, and then you can choose to download them and then choose to install them, or it will just download all available patches as they come along, and then alert you that you need to install them. Or it will download them and install them and even reboot your computer.
Yes, that's very dangerous if you're running like a server.
Well, servers... Indeed. Servers, you at worst, you want to just have it download the patches automatically. I'm sure a lot of systems administrators or network administrators or whatever would, in all likelihood... set it to not even download the patches because they're going to be very choosy about which patches they install at all.
You know, you might be surprised because I am aware of a certain software company right here in Cleveland, and one of their customers had their server set to automatically download and install the patches. It rebooted the server. The services for their production software were not set to start automatically, and so everybody came in the next morning and complained that the system didn't work.
And this is why you don't allow servers to be rebooted automatically by anything. This is also why I hated IBM servers, because IBM servers, if any little thing seemed to be wrong with them, they would just not work anymore. Not only would they shut themselves down, they wouldn't turn back on again. They would just put that yellow light with an exclamation point in it and just sit there.
That ain't cool.
No. So, I mean, yeah, they would come out pretty... quickly and fix it, but you were still down for several hours or
sure.
Maybe a day or two. So I always shied away from the IBM servers. And but you know, what is a server anyway? It's just a computer. It's just a PC with maybe higher quality parts or maybe a...
It's actually a really interesting question. What is a server? Because people talk about it all the time. They talk about servers and file servers and network servers.
Well, I guess a server, from one perspective, is a piece of hardware. And for the most
it's
part...
It's just a computer.
It's just a computer, but maybe with higher quality components, or maybe with components of a certain form factor so that this machine will fit into a rack, okay? Or maybe it's components of a nature that supports a great deal of redundancy. So you'll have a motherboard that can accept two or three or multiple power supplies. So one goes down, the others pick up where it left off. RAID controllers and all kinds of redundancies, you know, and dual or quad processors and you know slots for multiple hard drives, you know, 8, 10, 12, 16 hard, you know.
32.
And then there's like, and then of course there's like blade servers, which are very small, and you can get like 10 of them across in a rack, in a four U space or whatever.
In another sense, though, a server is more of a job than a
hardware. Then there's the software perspective, whereas, you know, a server could be a machine, okay, and it can perform a variety of functions such as file server. Making files available to multiple users over a network.
Web server,
which
print
is...
A print server.
An application server. A database server.
There's probably a server at Microsoft serving up these patches that they so graciously give us every month.
Dan says he's having a firewall issue, so he can't listen.
I'm sorry to hear this.
It's terribly sad.
Hmm. So there's a
go ahead.
IceCast server,
which we're using right now.
It provides the service of broadcasting our very thoughts onto the internet.
It does that indeed. Can you think of any other kinds of server? Did I say database?
I think you might
have. A database server?
If you didn't, you should have, for sure.
Absolutely.
So a server is a computer.
There's other kinds of servers like LDAP type servers or directory, you know, servers, authentication servers, things of that nature that handle nothing but
An email server.
Great.
Yes. So a server is a computer that provides a specific service to other computers. And that's why you want it to stay up all the time, because people rely on that service.
Exactly.
And that's why you shouldn't set it to automatically reboot under any circumstances.
That's pretty much true. I mean, unless you really know what you're doing, you know, unless you can be assured that it isn't going to reboot itself during business hours, and when it does reboot itself, it's going to work without, for instance, anyone having to log in.
So oftentimes the computers that connect to these servers are called clients. Like you have an email client or a web client or an IceCast client, perhaps.
Wait. Let's go back. Start over. Go back.
Well, we talked about servers.
Yeah.
Servers provide a service. Who do they provide it to?
It's clients.
Just a nomenclature thing.
The server client architecture, right, as it were.
So a client is, you know, a piece of software running on your computer. Where I'm really getting to here is that there's client-server architecture, and then there's an architecture where both computers are sort of providing services to each other, like a peer-to-peer service model.
Okay.
Like you have with, perhaps Napster.
Uh-huh.
Or BitTorrent, I think, is another example of peer-to-peer.
Sure.
And that just means that you have the same kind of computer on both ends of the connection, sort of symmetrically providing services to one another.
Sure. But you wouldn't really call one a server, would you?
No, they're peers.
But there might be a server delegating the relationship between peers.
Maybe there's a server providing a service such as telling you...
Load balancing.
Or, like, telling you what peers are online that you could connect to.
That's right. So, there's really two ways to look at a server. You can look at a server as a piece of hardware, which is a highly specialized... Not necessarily highly specialized, but probably more like a robust...
Studly?
Well, I'll just say... I'll say a robust piece of hardware that's designed to be up all the time.
Kind of.
To work all the time. Go away.
We're going to be clicking that every 5 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. As long as it doesn't reboot itself by itself, we'll be okay. So it's a robust piece of hardware that... we've got the listener. It's Jennifer Topox.
Huh.
It's the broccoli ladies, the soiree girls. She goes, some mic levels are kind of weird.
I'm sorry to hear this.
Well, maybe you're not, you know... Is it Drew or is it me, Jennifer? And we're so glad you're listening, and we're so glad we're doing a show while you're listening. We're absolutely thrilled.
Thanks for listening. I really didn't mean any offense by calling you the broccoli ladies.
No, we're just, you know, I call them like the... I'm thinking like the soiree girls, and we have to come up with a segment for them, you know, in their honor. Like we have Shane's YouTube clip of the week. Mm-hmm. We have Tim Wurzel's bare metal question of the week. We have, you know, getting physical with Dr. J. We have new pieces of Flair. We have Tales from the Dork Side. We have Dork Almighty's free software of the week. What else do we have?
Goodness gracious, we have a lot of segments.
Yeah, we do. We do. We don't get to them all every week.
Speaking of technology and
enough
mic
about
levels.
Fucking servers anyway. Hey, look, it's either an expensive, robust computer that can do a lot of things for a lot of people at the same time and have redundancies and all kinds of things built in and very scalable and all this kind of stuff. Or it's a piece of software that accepts requests and
usually runs on that piece of hardware
and delivers information or services or whatever. So a server can be software, it can be hardware.
And it can be confusing, because usually people talk about the mail server, and they don't distinguish whether it's the software or the hardware that they're talking about.
That's right. Well, so the mail server is, in all likelihood, both.
Yes.
It's the computer and the software.
That computer might also be running your web server and your...
That's true, and that happens a lot. So sure. your the server is usually one computer and about six software servers. Anyway, moving on.
I read about a piece of software called the Levelator.
The Levelator.
Levelator. And I think I didn't have time to check
love
it out.
Levelators in the sand? You know, I Remember You by Skid Row. You remember that?
I'm not familiar with the
country music. He says love letters in the sand.
That's very clever.
All right, forget it.
It's called the Levelator, and I didn't have time to research it thoroughly. I think it's a piece of software that you run your MP3s through, like your podcast MP3s.
Ah, to attenuate them.
Well, it levels out all your different mic levels so that it will boost the quiet people and attenuate the loud people.
This is something we would like use now?
I think you have to do it as a post-process. I'm not 100% sure. But so the people listening live would obviously have to contend with the weird mic levels. But if you post-processed it with the Levelator, it would sound okay on the podcast version.
You know, there's a lot of things we wanted to do with the podcast version, including young Mr. Cassidy's. Anybody who was a fan of the show way back in the day, we had a cast member named Senor Crapple, Doug Cassidy, who never really liked that
name.
Never really liked that name. He was the Apple apologist.
He was tall.
And tall. And he was, you know, oh, I don't know. He discovered some things you can do with your podcasts.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The little things you could embed in them, like imagery and information,
like chapter bookmarks and
web links and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were definitely thinking about doing that kind of thing. And
But he stone cold dissed us.
He did it once and then never did it again. He did it once. He's like, I'm going to do this for every show. And then, of course, it's a lot of work, so I never...
Sure.
I really never held him to it, because...
If you guys are out there enjoying high-quality podcasts with a lot of show notes and, you know, images and bookmarks and stuff, you should be grateful to those people, because they're putting a lot of time into their podcast, unlike us, who we basically put in 1 minute for every minute we're on the air.
Well, let me tell you, I just got another message from Dan, and Dan is trying to figure out how to listen to the show from his workplace, but it turns out that his workplace is firewalling, a lot of the audio ports and things of that nature. So I guess that's not going to work.
Can he tunnel it through port 80?
Tunnel it through port 80?
Is that not the right...
I don't know.
...name for the...
What about like a hamachi?
Is that a kind of sushi?
No, a hamachi is like some sort of weird like state... Well, it is. It is a kind of sushi, I'm pretty sure. Hamachi is like yellowtail, I think.
I thought so, too.
Okay, but it... in this particular situation, hamachi is a sort of a VPN software thing where
cool.
you launch the Hamachi client on your computer, then someone else launches it on their computer.
A Hamachi kind of, server? Or
no, no, no. It's like two peer-to-peer thing, and you kind of find each other over the internet and create a VPN connection.
That is totally sweet.
That's pretty cool. So he's trying to, you know, we're trying to figure out how he can listen to the show. It doesn't look like he can, but I suggested remote desktop.
Oh, he would remote, yeah.
He would remote desktop into his home computer with sound, bring the sound down, and then listen that way. Because the sound, it should be fast enough to just bring that low, you know, bitstream MP3 that we put out. But it turns out they're filtering out RDP as well.
RDP.
Remote desktop protocol.
Mm.
But it turns out he found a terminal server performance tweak website, and apparently it really helped him out.
But not with this problem, right?
Not with this problem, but it's a cool link. And unfortunately, well, it's over at thelazyadmin.com. So go over to the Lazy Admin and look for maybe article 133 or something like that, or 133 terminal server performance tweaks. I think that's what it is. 133 terminal server performance tweaks. You can Google that.
Okay.
Maybe we could have
Dan's firewall workaround of the week.
Well, I like that. Although I wonder, you know, how many times we could actually do that.
Probably as many times as Dan tries to do something from work.
Okay, we got another email back from Jennifer, and she says that the Soiree Girls sounds good to us. So the Soiree Girls, she goes, the mic problem was fixed. It was Drew, but it's okay now. And no offense taken to the broccoli nickname. So good work. Keep talking into that mic.
Thank you. I will talk into the mic.
Okay, well, Jennifer, thank you so much for contributing and listening. And now that you're the Soiree Girls, we have to come up with something for you, some kind of segment. Now, I was thinking about, like, because I think they have some acquaintance or they're just big fans of Dr. J, we were thinking about maybe incorporating them into the getting physical with Dr. J.
I mean, to be fair, who wouldn't be a big fan of Dr. J?
Indeed, indeed. However, maybe the Soiree Girls should have their own, you know, separate genre, you know. Something that we're not, maybe like a Google search term of the week or something like that. Like, in other words, something humorous or something interesting or whatever. Like, Google this phrase and follow the first link.
Right.
Or maybe it'll be, okay, I've got it. I think I've got it. I know that sounds kind of lame at first, but bear with me here for a second. When you go to Google, you can type in a search term and then say, click, instead of clicking Google search, click, I'm feeling lucky.
Feeling lucky with the Soiree Girls?
How about getting lucky with the Soiree Girls?
I don't know nothing about that.
I'm going to propose to the Soiree Girls that we do a segment called Getting Lucky, or is it Feeling Lucky?
I think it's I'm Feeling Lucky.
Yeah, but I mean, would it be better to say I'm feeling lucky with the Soiree Girls? Or saying Getting Lucky? Because Getting Lucky is, I think we all know what that implies, whereas feeling lucky is like, well, where are they? At the Palms Casino or something?
I don't know.
Do you know?
I'm going to, you know, I'm not in the marketing department of the Dial-A-Dork organization.
All right, well, let's just put it out there, because we don't have anything prepared for this week, so we can just use this week as a
So go to Google test. And put in Turtle Shell and hit I'm Feeling Lucky.
Okay, fine.
See where we get.
I'm putting in Turtle Shell, and I'm going to click I'm Feeling Lucky. And it just takes you right to the first result?
Yes, it takes you. It's a shortcut for clicking on the first result right. That would have come back.
And I got taken to a website at GeoCities.
Of all places.
And it says the Turtle Shell, antique or aquatic turtles, pictures, message board, and more. Welcome to the Turtle Shell. Thanks for coming to my page, and make sure you read up. Oy, this is a horrible website.
Well, sometimes.
Oh my God! It's got a crazy spinning cube on it.
A crazy spinning.
It's
cube.
Like one. It's like one of these long websites.
Sure.
Where they just did, you know, just it, like straight up HTML line after line after line.
Is it center justified? Did they use the center?
It's
tag
mostly
around the
whole center
thing?
Justified.
That is the mark of a crazy person.
This is definitely a crazy. There's a button there that says this site is turtle-rific, and it's got a turtle on it. And it looks like it might be part of a web ring or something. I'm not sure. Well, it's copyright 98.99. by Derek Hall.
And John Oates?
wait a minute. Let me think here. I believe that was Daryl Hall, but don't quote me on that. All right, so I'm thinking, feeling, I can't decide. I'll let them, I want to hear their input. If they like feeling lucky with the Soiree girls or getting lucky with the Soiree girls. And what it'll be is our best effort, or maybe they could even send us in a funny, you know, episode, a funny thing where you type in a search term in Google and click the I'm feeling lucky button and it takes you to an interesting place.
So Turtle Shell was a bust. I mean, that's not...
Well, I mean, it's a ridiculous fucking... Actually, it's worth seeing the crazy spinning cube.
Okay.
You know, if you want to see the spinning cube...
How about crazy spinning cube in Google and then I'm feeling lucky?
Do you want me to do crazy spinning cube?
I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm very deferential to your preferences and... Cases such as these, Irv, I don't want to...
Crazy?
Maybe just spinning cube. I think that's the key to Google, is start general.
I did crazy spinning cube.
And did you get back to turtleshell.com or whatever it was?
No, I'm going to perspector.com.
Now that sounds like a G.I. Joe villain.
Easy 3D business graphics. It's the cube corner at the Perspector Gallery, and it's got spinning cube.
I got a feeling this feature might need some work.
Well, it needs preparation.
What more preparation can you do than just picking words at random?
Well, what I'm saying is no, you have to pick one that the audience will enjoy.
I see.
So you pick one like, you know...
Gargamel.
I love it. So in other words, what you type in... but see, even that is like, you know... some sort of... Oh my God. It took me to gargamel.net. And that is fucking weird. It's got a smiling, laughing eyeball.
Oh, awesome. I gotta see that. Wow. That is a smiling, laughing eyeball.
It's kind of grotesque.
Yeah.
And they want you to join the email list.
I'm gonna go ahead and not do that.
Anyway, you can email them at gargamel@gargamel.net. I'm not sure what it's all about, but you can click here for the Garga calendar. And it looks something about Jack... Wait a minute.
Every single day is okay. Smurfs, right?
They're a band.
Oh.
Gargamel is a band, and it's a Florida band. And speaking of Florida, did you see the fight between the Miami University and Florida International University in the football game?
I heard that there was one, but that's it.
This fight was ridiculous. The benches emptied. People were running around with their helmets swinging and clubbing people, and people were stomping other people.
Now, this is a...
A guy ran out on the field.
Football?
Yeah. A guy ran out on the field in crutches and was swinging his crutch at people.
That's some impassioned football playing
right
there.
Well, like, everybody is suspended.
Was there a technical foul or something?
Oh, my God. There was, like... there were so many fouls, they didn't call any fouls, really. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter. Because there were so many fouls on both sides, it didn't matter. And... However,
what sparked this fight? Was there like some...
You know what? You know what sparked it? I'll tell you what sparked it is that the University of Miami is having a shitty year, and this team, this other team from Florida, who had probably been bitch slapped by Miami for 20 straight years, losing like 63-0, came in there figuring this is our best chance ever to get a win.
Yeah.
And they felt really confident, and they started some shit, and they were talking a lot of shit, and they started to kind of being real physical and doing a little extracurricular activity, and it turned into a fucking, like...
Melee?
It was like thug life in the middle of the fucking field. Okay, so fine, right?
Did the band get involved? The marching band?
I don't know if the band got involved. They might have.
Because you don't want to get hit with a sousaphone.
you don't want to get a glockenspiel up your ass. All right. The thing about it is that there was a commentator for Comcast, okay, who... was a Miami University alum, and he was a football player for Miami University. And during when this fight started happening, he's talking about, like, you can't come into the OB and start talking smack. You're gonna get your butt kicked. He's like, I'm ready to go in the elevator and go down there, you know, yeah. And start talking all this shit about how.
So did a fight break out in the announcer booth?
Well,
too?
No, but he got fired.
Really?
Yeah, and I think you can hear his comments on Shane's YouTube clip of the week. I have to figure out
way to work that in.
Yeah, isn't that good? I went from Florida to Shane's YouTube clip of the week.
It's like it was
Gargamel.net.
Did you plan this out? Like,
I absolutely did.
Nice job.
No, I didn't. I'm going to say search for Miami, Florida...
Smack Talk.
International...
Riot.
And that's all I'm going to say right there. I'm going to try with that. Miami, Florida International. And... Looks like there's some good... Oh, my God. There's like 10. Like 10, you know, videos of this thing. One of them has got to have this guy, Lamar something or other, talking and getting himself fired, basically, by talking smack from the announcer's booth.
You know, it's too easy to get fired, isn't it?
From broadcasting?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get fired. Like, Steve Lyons got fired from Fox Baseball the other day when Lou Piniella got hired, and he said, and Lou Piniella is Hispanic, and he said something like, he's like, I'm still looking for my wallet from the last time I hung out with Lou, so I don't want to sit next to him, or something like that. And everyone's like,
is that racist?
He said something about how Lou was habla-ing Espanol, and then something about how he stole his wallet or something. And they're like, you know what, Steve, you're fired.
See, you hire people because they make comments, right? You
know, well,
like,
and
commentators.
Steve Lyon is known as like kind of a crazy person. Like, they used to call him like Psycho or something. And he has the famous highlight of sliding into first base or second base or something and getting a bunch of dirt in his belt line. You know, like where his, you know, like they tuck in their jerseys in baseball.
Yeah.
And he got a bunch of dirt between like, his, you know, in his belt, like between his jersey and his pants.
Yeah.
And so usually you'll see them like fold the belt line of their pants over and kind of shake it out. Like, you'll
sure,
see Kenny
sure.
Lofton do that or other people do that. He just kind of forgot what he was doing, and he just undid his pants and pulled them down to his knees in the middle of a Major League Baseball game, and was, like, brushing the dirt off. And then he's like, and the ump's like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, oh, shit, and he pulled his pants back up.
Wow.
So he's kind of a nut anyway. But I'll say go and watch the brawl and see if you can listen to this color commentator's getting himself fired.
Wow.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby indeed. In fact, you know, YouTube is really... first of all, as we all know, YouTube was recently bought. You heard about this, of course.
By Google.
Google for $1.65 billion in Google stock.
That's a lot of scratch.
Well, that's just a lot of stock.
Granted.
Which is kind of interesting, because now these guys, if they want, can just sell all their Google stock and have all the cash.
Can they, or is there like some time limit?
Maybe a year.
I mean, typically you can't just do it that day. You have some time limit. I don't know.
Maybe a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I know I'd do it. $1.6 billion.
I'd definitely get some of the cash.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta buy me a nice ride.
Cuisinart.
I gotta get my mama a house.
Sure.
I gotta get my baby mama a car.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get my baby some Dior.
Okay.
Some Dior.
All those things are,
get some Dior onesies up in here.
So what happened to Google Video? Didn't Google Video, wasn't that supposed to come out as
to
YouTube?
Fuck it.
Okay.
Let them both coexist. Who cares? Or take maybe YouTube just did it better. Just mix the two. Mix the two together and combine their databases.
That's
Google
cool.
Google Video will be YouTube, and YouTube will be Google Video.
I am down with that.
Or maybe they'll use Google Video to as like a beta testing ground, and they'll YouTube will be like the branded, you know.
Or maybe one's the free service, and one's the branded premium service.
That's right. Maybe YouTube will be like a more of a branded thing, and Google will be more of like the freewheeling, free for all.
It's interesting to me that YouTube sold right as a lot of people started getting on their case about copyright infringement.
Yeah. Well, why not? But I don't think they were ever truly afraid of that. Because they were also in a catbird seat, if you want to think about it that way. Because, yeah, they probably had a lot of copywritten shit on their site. But at the same time, all the media providers were like, okay, how do we get our stuff onto YouTube?
Yeah.
You know?
The thing about it is
those stupid morons should just put it on there for free.
Whether they do or whether they don't, I mean, it's up to them.
Well, they should.
I agree they should. But
SNL should put every sketch they've ever done on YouTube.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
They just should.
Wouldn't it be awesome if there's snl.youtube.com?
Oh, that would be amazing.
That's a billion-dollar idea right there. Where's my stock certificate?
Where's my briefcase full of cash and my hookers and my blow? You know,
I know where those are.
They're not here. All right, so I say Shane's YouTube clip of the week. Oh, also, here's another one. Shane has another YouTube clip of the week. We'll call YouTube. Here's the search terms. The search string is Dennis Green. Just put Dennis Green. And there it is. Dennis Green tirade. I don't know if anyone watched Monday Night Football last night. I don't know if anyone watched Monday Night Football last night.
I don't really
well,
follow
the Chicago
the
Bears came into the game 5-0.
The Bears
came in 5-0.
Pretty good record.
Very good record. Dominating teams with defense and an effective offense. Arizona is 1-4.
Pretty bad record.
Kind of stinky. They just changed quarterbacks. They put in their rookie quarterback.
Their plastic quarterback.
Their plastic rookie Hollywood quarterback, Matt Leinart. And everyone basically figured that Chicago would go into Arizona and stomp on them.
So the game was at Arizona.
The game was at Arizona. And everyone just figured they'd go in and stomp on them.
Yeah.
In fact, I was positive that they would. But anyway, by the some point in the second half, Arizona's winning 23-3.
23-3?
23-3.
That's inconceivable.
They've got the game. It's 23-3.
That must have turned a lot of fantasy leagues upside down.
Well, there were a lot of people in survival leagues who picked Chicago to win that week that were freaking out.
No doubt.
Somehow, and there were people who put money on Arizona to cover the spread were like, I'm in the money.
Are you suggesting that there's betting on professional sports?
I certainly am.
Wow. I had no idea.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Oh, yes, it is.
So I bet there were some eyebrows raised when the favorites by how many points?
I don't know what the... I'm sure the line was big, 16. Though. I don't know about that much, but 12, I'm sure it was
9.
Somewhere between 8 and 12.
Somewhere between Ditka and Tyson.
Okay.
Who is that one running back for Chicago?
Right now?
No.
Oh, Walter Payton?
Yes.
He's dead.
He's dead?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He died of liver failure, I believe.
Oh. When? Today?
A couple of years ago.
Oh. That sucks.
They called him Sweetness.
Yes.
He's dead.
Oh.
Anyway, so Chicago's losing 23-3.
Yeah.
Well, in the fourth quarter, or late in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter, what happens is that Arizona fumbles, and Chicago runs it back for a touchdown.
It's okay. They're still...
That's right. They're up 23-10.
Yeah.
So there's 6 minutes or 5 minutes to go in the game, and they're going to go to the ball control offense and try to run off the clock.
Arizona is.
Sure. So they hand the ball off to the sure-handed free agent pickup, Edgerrin James, an outstanding running back, who promptly fumbles, and it gets run back for a touchdown.
What?
That's right. Now it's 23-17.
And a lot of people are feeling stupid for going to bed.
Well, or leaving, or whatever.
Switching over to
So now it's 23. Girls. Now it's 23-7.
I don't know what's
Indeed.
On.
Well, usually when I don't want to watch football, I tune into Golden Girls, or if I can find it, Small Wonder.
Oh, no. Worst show ever.
One of the worst.
Yeah.
One of the worst. It's right up there with, Family Matters and Saved by the Bell.
Only less of a cult following, I think.
And, well, okay, now Saved by the Bell is watchable because of the hot chicks.
Okay, but Small Wonder isn't.
There's no hot chicks.
Oh.
There's just the stupid robot girl, and she's not hot. She's
wasn't
like,
there a mom?
She's like 10.
I don't know.
There was a mom, but she wasn't a MILF or anything, I don't think.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
So the people who are watching Small Wonder are like oblivious to
Yeah,
this
well, anyway, so it's 23-17.
Yeah,
now Arizona gets
touchdown.
Arizona gets the ball back. They're staying calm. They're going to stay calm. They're going to run.
Was there a squib kick involved?
There was no squib kick or anything. They just, Chicago figures our defense is going to get the ball back. We're going to have a chance to score. So Arizona is, they make a couple of first downs, but then the drive stalls, and they punt.
Yeah.
And the
how many minutes are left by this point?
Four? Two and a half? Three?
They can hold them for 3 minutes.
Yeah, you would think so. Keep them out of the end zone.
I would think so.
Unless, of course, on that punt, the punt returner runs it back for a touchdown.
Was it
Which he did. No, it was Devin Hester, Miami University graduate, incidentally.
What number was he?
23 or something.
That's not 34.
Now, it's not Walt. He's dead.
And yet he's still winning games for Chicago. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
I wish I was at home eating broccoli right now.
It's more than just broccoli, by the way. The soiree girls do it up. They like get steaks, lobs. It's like surf and turf, lasagna. I mean, it's like a fucking buffet.
I've got a feeling that may have been an exaggeration.
A smorgasbord, if you will.
Yes.
I don't think so. I'm going to believe every word they say.
Including the lobster.
Why not? Lobster's widely available.
Sure.
But you can get reasonably priced lobster tail frozen at your Mega Mart.
On a Tuesday night?
Anytime. Anytime.
Okay.
Sure.
So then it was.
Do you know what whale tail is?
Yes.
What is whale tail?
It's not in your freezer section at the Mega Mart.
Well, it might be.
I suppose it might be.
If she's there.
Well, so then it was a tie, right? Did they
the extra point? They made the extra point.
So they won.
Well, they're winning. 24-3.
Oh, okay.
So Arizona gets the ball.
24-3?
24-23. Excuse
me. Okay.
So the people in Arizona are stunned.
Of course.
Chicago hasn't even scored an offensive touchdown, and they're winning.
Amazing.
So they kick the ball off, and Arizona gets a good run back to like the 35. Okay. Good. It's good enough. Get a good run back to the 35.
And all they have to do is kick a field goal.
That's right. And Matt Leinart proceeds to guide them on a really good-looking drive. He's completing
quarterback.
He's completing passes. He's executing.
Running out of bounds.
Well, no. They don't want to run out of bounds.
They have to save time. Right?
They have plenty of time. They actually want to run. They kind of want to do it just right. They want to run all the time off the clock so that when they kick the field goal, there's very little time left for Chicago to try to get a field goal.
Okay.
So they're executing pretty well, mm-hmm. and they get down to like the 20 or so yard line of Chicago, and it's like second and two. And it's amazing. Joe Theismann. He's one of the commentators on Monday Night Football. And
okay,
former,
he's still alive.
Yes, former great quarterback in the NFL, Super Bowl winner.
Former pantyhose
Washington
wearer.
Redskins, Notre Dame, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Great player, kind of a ego guy, handsome guy, but...
Another plastic quarterback.
A bit, but a tough. He's a tough guy. He played tough. He was a tough guy, and he was a mobile, athletic quarterback with a good arm. And a good head there in the game, and he...
Let me guess, he started talking smack, and
fired. He didn't talk smack, he didn't get fired, he said it was second and two, and Leinart had been passing, and executing all over the field, and he says, now is not the time to get conservative, meaning don't just run the ball and settle for the field goal here. Because he's like, Leinart is running the show, he's confident, just let him pass. And get as far down the field as you can and take all that time off the clock. Well, you know what they did was they ran the ball twice in a row. They got stuffed both times. And so with about 45 seconds left on the clock, they kicked the 39-yard field goal and missed.
Oh, boy.
And they lost.
Wow. And they were up by 20 points.
Yes, against maybe the best team in the league.
I bet the Bears are going to be running laps on... Tomorrow,
the Bears were freaking out, man. They were like celebrating and shit, but it was a crazy way to win a game. They'll obviously take it.
Sure.
But anyway, after the game, the coach...
You don't let the worst team in the league run up 20 points on you?
Exactly. 23. And the coach of the Arizona Cardinals went a little bit bananas after the game in his press conference and yelled a little bit and got a little crazy. No, he didn't get fired, but he fired his offensive coordinator today. Yeah.
Huh.
So, go to YouTube and put in Dennis Green.
Dennis Green.
And watch his comments. They're a little... It's a little funny and a little sad. We have a bare metal question of the week from Tim Wurzel.
We don't.
We do.
What is it?
He says, Dorks, question. Which is better, DVD-R or DVD+R?
Plus is better than minus, right?
You would think so. I think the answer to that is neither.
What?
It's like two... different standards or whatever for writing to a DVD. You can go to the store and you can get DVD-R CDs, or you can get DVD plus R CDs. I don't know. I don't really know what the big difference is, but most DVD burners will do either one. They are able to recognize which media is in there, and they'll do either one. And most DVD ROMs will read either one.
And that's the way to do it, in my opinion.
Well, let's see if I can, while we're sitting here chit-chatting, let me see if I can find anything that, you know, authoritatively.
So you're going to put in DVD plus minus R, I'm feeling lucky.
Oh. Well, I didn't do the I'm feeling lucky. I used the Google toolbar. Here is, at Americal.com, difference between DVD plus R and DVD minus R. And let's see if the answers are actually here. What the fuck? This is like all messed up. Hold on a second. What is the difference between DVD-R and DVD plus R and DVD RAM? Okay, the DVD forum created the DVD/R or dash R, and they generally come in single-sided, single-layer, 4.7 gig capacity. There are some double-sided entering the market, but there's no players that will automatically play both sides without ejecting it and turn it over. By contrast, DVD plus R was made by the DVD plus RW Alliance, which is different than the DVD forum, although some companies are backing both of them. It's lossless. They're saying that DVD plus R might be a little bit more widely compatible with players, and it might be capable of a little bit more functionality. So, if you're deciding which kind to buy, I would say go out and get DVD plus R, it looks like.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
I guess they're saying here that really there's really no compatibility difference. They're both pretty... I see. DVD plus R discs are more expensive and not burnable by first generation plus type burners, which were designed only for the DVD plus RW rewritable discs. You'll need a second generation type burner. I'm sure everything out on the market now is at least second generation. So I guess if you want to be safe, get DVD dash R. If you want like a little bit more functionality, DVD plus R. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I'm totally
just in.
I'm completely fucking wrong. Wait a minute. The oldest plus type DVD is a DVD plus RW. It's like DVD. Lossless linking, 2.4x recording speeds, and special drag and drop file support on the desktop. Unfortunately, the DVD plus R disc does not even begin to compare with DVD dash R as far as DVD playback compatibility. So DVD dash R is more compatible.
Interesting.
I take it back. This is a terrible article. I'm blaming the article. I'm going to go over to AskDaveTaylor.com.
Who's Dave Taylor?
I don't know. What's the difference between DVD plus R and DVD minus R? Well, there's really only two families of DVD at the moment. There's minus and plus. A DVD minus R is a write-once format. Once you've burned the data onto that platter, the disc is forever frozen with that info. There, of course, is the rewritable DVD-RW, which is different. The plus format is the same capacity, but the DVD plus RW is actually the older technology, and it has it's faster writing and support for drag and drop. DVD plus R is a write-once format intended to be more compatible with DVD players, although it seems about the same.
So we don't know. Is the answer.
I'm pretty sure that it's not going to matter. If you're trying to burn a DVD to play in a player, you might want to consult the player's documentation to see if it says anything about playing DVD-R or plus R. Otherwise, just go for it. I think whichever one's on sale, really. That's where I'm going to go with. How's that sound?
Sounds okay to me.
I'm glad to hear it.
I usually find it works better if you pay more money. Seriously. Like, the cheapest players, the cheapest media are the ones that you're most likely to run into problems with. You throw it in your CD or DVD drive, and it just won't play or it skips or whatever.
I agree.
Spend a little more money, and you won't have to worry about it.
I used to be a firm believer in cheap CD Rs until one day I bought a spindle of cheap ones, and about every fourth one was a coaster.
I've had that.
And I said, forget it. And ever since then, all I've ever done is bought something branded.
Yeah.
Even if it is made by the same company, I buy the branded ones. There was a great deal at Micro Center a long time ago on 50-pack spindles of HP-branded CDRs for like $8.
That's cheap.
I bought like five of them, and I'm still using them.
Yeah.
And I think I've made all of three coasters.
Yeah.
And I went with verbatim for my DVD media.
Yeah, just spend a couple more dollars or whatever.
So really, Tim, I think you'll find that as I think if you don't skimp on the media and get like verbatim or
buy whichever one's more expensive,
TDK or Maxell or any of the brand names, you'll probably do fine. If you're planning on playing the DVD in a DVD player that's not on a computer, you might want to go with DVD-R or minus R.
Yeah.
However, if you're just using it for data storage, I think either one is going to be fine. So, that would be that. Oh, go away. Okay, so let's see. I got a new piece of Flair coming.
You don't.
I do.
What do you have?
It's a portable DVD player with the screen.
Did you get it during the Woot Off?
No, I was this close to buying that Arcos 30 gig. You know, but hey, here comes Yoko the Architect. Uh-oh. What happened? Who called? She called? Okay, hold. Let's take a break for this quick commercial message. Okay. All right. We've got a serious domestic issue, so we are going to wrap this show up unexpectedly.
It's 9 o'clock. It's the ending.
Well, we didn't start till we started a little late. No, but you know what? We're at about almost 50 minutes. So, all right, Drew. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Unfortunately, we did possibly come up with a segment for the Soiree Girls. We just have to discover. We have to find out whether it's feeling lucky with the Soiree Girls or getting lucky with the Soiree Girls. We'll decide that. And we did manage to cover a Bare Metal Question of the Week and Shane's YouTube Clips of the Week. So, all in all, a good show.
Yep.
I'm happy. I'm glad you came. And we'll do it again, hopefully next week.
Okay.
All right, so that'll be it for tonight. I'm very sorry that we have to end a little bit early, but I've got an emergency to deal with, and I don't want to hear any crap from nobody. So thank you very much, and we will see you next week. Any last words?
I won't be here next week.
Great. Oh, email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com and visit our site for the archives so you can listen to the show or listen to previous shows. Subscribe to the RSS feed so you'll always be informed of new material. If you want to join our mailing list, send us an email at dorks@dial-a-dork.com so you get show announcements. And visit our website so you can go to our Cafe Press store and order gear. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, thanks very much for listening, and we will holler at you next week. Hopefully, maybe, I don't know. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.